From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And we start in Denmark, where two men are in custody, suspected of helping the gunman who killed two people over the weekend. A Danish filmmaker was killed at a cultural center hosting a seminar on free speech, attended by a cartoonist who had drawn the Prophet Muhammad. The gunman, 22-year-old Omar Hussein, then killed a Jewish guard at a synagogue and was later killed himself in a shootout with a SWAT team. Denmark's foreign minister said the gunman had not traveled to fight with ISIS, but could have been radicalized in jail. He'd just been released after a 2-year sentence for assault. But his actions are bound to bring attention to a program that is designed for Danish jihadis who travel abroad. Let's bring in Jacob Bundsgaard, mayor of the Danish city Aarhus. He was already scheduled to travel to the White House this week for a summit meeting on countering violent extremism to talk about his city's controversial program, which reintegrates young jihadis even if they come back holding to the ideology of creating a Muslim caliphate. Mayor Bundsgaard, the program welcomes them back, offers them counseling and jobs. What's the reasoning?
Basically, it's out of necessity. We will prosecute if we are able to lift the burden of evidence of any crimes committed by typically these young men returning from Syria. But these young people have legal residence in Denmark. So instead of just leaving them alone, we try our utmost to reintegrate them into society, to provide them with a mentor, and to provide them basically with a better and more positive path in life than the ones that led them to violent extremism.
Well, Denmark, we're reading, has produced more foreign fighters per capita than anywhere else in the world. And you say a cause in your city, there are two actually that you point to, a public housing project that the Toronto Star said got so bad, so insular, that ambulances wouldn't go in without armed guards. And you also have a radical mosque. Just last month, city officials gave an ultimatum to mosque leaders. So explain both of what you say are these sources of discontent in young men.
Well, I think we have our fair share of social problems in Aarhus. There's nowhere in the city where the ambulance and the police can't go.
So is that not true about the ambulance? Is that another one of those urban myths about an ambulance not able to go into it?
Yes. I'm holding a public meeting in the area tonight. So this is a challenged area, but it's not an unsafe area.
Well, but it is an area like the ones we read about in France. Because of all the immigrants coming to countries like yours in the 1960s to be part of the labor force and at the end of colonization, that it is an area that's dense with people who don't feel that they have any roads out. You've literally been building roads out. So tell us more about what you've decided to do with this ghettoized community.
Well, basically, we made a very large-scale plan to completely change the area physically, changing the road system, tearing down apartment buildings, building new, more attractive apartments, in an attempt to also change the population and create more opportunities for people in this area.
Well, and then the mosque. We understand that 30 or so residents of your city who went to Syria were linked to what's being called one of the most radical houses of worship in Europe. And your city officials said to this mosque in your city, what, you have to open up to us?
Yes, actually, it was an effort based on some of the experience that we picked up in the U.S. in Minneapolis, St. Paul's, where we visited a few years ago, in the aftermath of young people with Somali background going to fight with al-Shabaab in Somalia. What they did there is what we have been doing in Aarhus, reaching out for religious leaders of the local communities and telling them very clearly, and this is so serious, that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And you need to make sure that you, in your preaches and in your talks with these young people, discourage them from leaving to fight in Syria or anywhere else.
And police and other city officials are allowed to go to the mosque and sit down with the young men who've returned to ascertain their risk, their risk levels. But what do you say, Mr. Mayor, to people who, especially in Denmark, after the 2006 violence that happened after the Danish newspaper was the first to publish an image of the Muhammad as a cartoon, people there are saying, we don't want these young men counseled. We want them arrested for treason. What do you say?
Well, basically, if we are to defend the values that we base our society on, you need evidence. And if you can't provide the evidence because it is hidden in a conflict area in Syria, we need to deal with these young people in a different way. And that includes giving them intensive counseling and making sure that we have as many people around these young people as possible so they don't go around not challenged on their values and opinions. That is what we do in our programs.
Mentors with them all the time. Jacob Bundsgaard, mayor of Aarhus in Copenhagen, he'll be coming to this week's White House conference on countering extremism. Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for speaking to us in advance of that.
My pleasure. Thank you.